This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We ask Him for steadfastness, guidance, mercy, and to never lead us astray, and for Him to save us on Judgment Day. The Prophet ﷺ every single Jum'ah would mention an ayah of the Quran in his khutbah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, truly a consciousness that has true meaning, is holistic in its understanding. A consciousness where you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your every facet of your life. And this is why Islam remains in one of the most powerful forces and movements. Not just in the world, in a global fashion, in society, but in personal conviction, in personal change. Something that can bring about a complete metamorphosis of a person, if they truly implement it. And that is why Islam remained one of the most powerful forces when people saw its effects in the interactions of people. When they saw, when a person accepted Islam, what they turned to, how they changed, 180 degrees sometimes. That's what moved others, simply by seeing the change in interaction. And that is why I believe, and many of our scholars, they teach us, that one of the crises of today is not a crisis of money. The crisis of today, no matter how much you see the economy plummet, no matter how much you see the stock market go off, or your housing, your prices go, you know, wherever they go, the crisis of today is a crisis of interaction. And we are more in need today of prophetic interaction than we are of understanding how to make it in this life. How to make our money, how to get that house, how to get that car, how to find that spouse, which many people, these are very important things in life, but the most important thing, I believe, after all of these things, is understanding, prior to even how to get your degree, how to buy a house, inshallah, the appropriate Islamic halal way, the kind of meat you're going to eat that we're all busy talking about. Who are you going to marry? I call them the five M's of confusion in our communities, right? These five M's, that's all we talk about in our communities. Number one, marriage. Number two, madhabs. Number three, maulid. How do we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not, right? Number four, meat, right? And of course, we can never forget moon sighting, right? The five M's of confusion that unfortunately Muslims are busy thinking that these are the integral components of Islam. The most integral component of Islam was how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with people. Winning a heart is both easy and extremely difficult. And destroying and breaking a heart is also very extremely easy and also hard. What do I mean by that? The Prophet ﷺ could win somebody over with something so simple, something so easy as simply smiling and listening to them. Compassion and empathy. Whereas to break somebody's heart, what do you have to do? You have to exert so much energy. So much energy. You have to yell, you have to scream, you have to curse, you have to exert a lot of force and thought. And you have to put that much time and concern. Imagine if somebody wants to get into a fight with somebody, male upper takes a lot, right? They have to drive to the person, they have to go, like all of this energy exerted. Whereas trying to win a heart is very simple. Don't respond. The Prophet ﷺ teaches. So winning a heart is both easy and difficult, and breaking a heart is both easy and difficult. They say, as we were talking with my brother-in-law, Ibrahim, the principal of Islamic School in Nashville, Tennessee, we were just speaking about the prophetic methodology of teaching. And he gave me a beautiful example. I'm sure many of you heard of these things when you were younger. They said that a match, right? You can create millions of them from one tree. Maybe not millions, maybe thousands, hundreds, from one tree, right? But you can burn a forest with one single match. You can burn an entire forest with one match. Why? Because of not understanding the crux of this faith, ad-deen mu'amala. It's not a hadith, this is an Arabic proverb. That the entirety of Islam is composed of how you deal with people. How you deal with people. And that is why prophetic interaction, brothers and sisters, is an art. It's something you have to study. Many of us have never thought about it. But subhanAllah, when I went to Medina, and have spent my past 11 years of my life there now in one place more than anyone, the one thing that I realize is the statement of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. He said that we spent 17 years learning how to interact with one another. And I was like, when I heard this in America, I was like, what are you talking about? 17 years? How do you say hello and how do you say bye? And no, this is not what they meant. They meant the art of interaction. The art of how to hold yourself. The art of composure. The art of having honor. The art of how to overcome an argument. The art of how to overcome your ego when you have a position and status. You're a doctor, you're an engineer, you're whoever you are, you have a position in your tribe or your family and etc. And you're having to face speaking to somebody and lowering your ego in front of them. Even though you're a CEO of a company. There are people who are considered some of the most successful individuals on this planet who have not perfected this art. But our Prophet ﷺ taught us that the entirety of Islam is perfecting this art. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّنْ مَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ Allahu Akbar. I have not, and this is hasl in Arabic. إِنَّمَا, it means I have been sent, and I have been sent for no other reason. Literally, all the reason that I was sent was to complete noble and perfect noble manners and character and interaction. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us many things. We can't obviously cover the whole thing now, but I want to give you a small taste of certain things that we may overlook in our interactions in this khutbah. One of them is, unfortunately, amongst our cultures, we have a habit of being very invasive. We have a habit of being very invasive. You meet somebody after you haven't seen them a while, or every time you see somebody, are you married yet? And then that doesn't end. Why aren't you married yet? Like, subhanAllah, I have a choice. Right? Oh no, I think I know somebody that can... No, this is being invasive. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. From the perfection of somebody's Islam, is that they leave that which does not concern them. Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, said something so beautiful about this. And he gave an example that we understand the concept of this hadith. Because sometimes we don't understand when we're invasive, when we're involving ourselves in that which does not concern us. When is that? That's when you're being invasive and you're questioning. Do you have children yet? This is a question which drives people to depression. It brings anxiety to men and women. And especially if they haven't had for a while, for example. This is something that we need to understand. You don't ask these kind of questions to people. It is against our faith to cause a Muslim or any human being distress because of your invasiveness. This is what we mean by prophetic interaction. Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, says that from among the character and ethos of fellowship and dealing with others, is that they don't eavesdrop, spy, and they desist from asking intrusive questions about a person's affairs. Intrusive questions. So, where do you work and how much do you make? I was in Hajj one time, and somebody, subhanAllah, sometimes it's normal interaction. It is something that you, for example, just simply ask. Oh, okay, so where do you guys live? Oh, awesome, alhamdulillah. Or, where do you live? How much did you get your house for? Or did you get on halal mortgage or not? La ilaha illallah wa hadahu la shaykh. And then on top of that, subhanAllah, the questioning that we have, he said, if they see somebody somewhere or busy in need, what does this person do? They go and chase them. Imam Ghazali said, they don't spring on them questions about their plans, where they're coming, where they're going. They don't ask them because it may be heavy on them. La ilaha illallah. How beautiful is Islam? You don't cause heaviness on another Muslim. Al Muslim man salim al mu'minun. مِنْ يَدِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the true believer is the one that people are safe, salim. He used the same root word as Islam, which means peace in one root. Another one is submission, as you all know. He said that the true believer is the one that does Islam with others. What is Islam? He submits them and like throws them on the ground? No. He treats them in a way that people are in peace. And they are safe. They feel safe from their tongue and from their hands. This is a true Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said. Imam Ghazali finishes. He says, they don't put them on the spot by them questioning so much and causes them so much anxiety to the extent
the person may even lie just to get rid of them. Have you seen this? Well, I have seen this myself. Somebody will sit and ask so many questions, a person will just make up things just to get rid of their company. This is among prophetic interaction, brothers and sisters, that we need to perfect and learn. These are things you have to learn. These are things sometimes not taught by even your parents. These are taught by teachers. These are taught by the books of conduct like Minhaj al-Muslim by the great Algerian Medini scholar, which is translated The Conduct of a Muslim. 2-volume work. Just read it with your family. Read it with yourself. Like the book of Imam al-Ghazali, Ihya Ulum al-Din. Like Imam al-Muhasibi's book. Like Imam al-Haddad's book, Lives of Man, and the Book of Assistance. These are things that we need to inculcate in our families and learn. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us another thing. He said something so beautiful and powerful. He says, "Halak al-mutanattirun." When you're Arab, this might even sound strange because you don't use this word often. يعني ذهبت إلى البيت وقال هلك المتنطعون غريب الكلمة, right? The Prophet ﷺ says, "The ones who are nitpickers and hair splitters, they have been ruined." The entirety of our community focuses so much on hair splitting and nitpicking everyone. Somebody's telling a story. Well, you know, I don't agree with that. Oh, I have another view. Somebody shares a political point. You know what? I don't think this is okay. I think I have something else. Somebody's telling you an advice. No, well, you know what? There's another view of how I can. One person came to Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Malik used that after Asr prayer, there's no sunnah. There's no sunnah. You sit. He came with a message to Nabawi, and a man yelled at him, doesn't know who Imam Malik is, doesn't know his status, doesn't know his anything. So he says to him, "Don't you fear Allah?" The Prophet said, "When you enter the masjid, you pray." Did he say, "Habib, I'm Imam Malik. The whole world reads my muwatta." If everybody can move forward, please, the brothers, and just move forward, give space for your brothers and all coming in. He didn't say, "My book is the greatest book. You should listen to me. I'm Fulan. I'm the greatest scholar. I have a PhD. Do you know who you're talking about? I knew this hadith before you were even born." And all. No. He said to him, "Jazakallah khair." He said, "Allahu Akbar." He prayed 2 rak'ah. Another student came up to him after and said, "Imam Malik, this goes against your hadith." He said, "When the hadith of the Prophet is mentioned, how dare I go against it?" Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah would say, somebody would come to me and mention to me something. I knew about this before his parents even married, but I listened to it as if it was the first time I heard it. Imam Junaid rahimahullah said, I would hear a story from somebody. I learned before he was born, but I listened to him as if it was the first time I listened to it. This is prophetic interaction. And nitpicking and hair splitting have destroyed relationships, have destroyed people's interactions. In fact, all of social media is all about this nitpicking and hair splitting. Well, you know what, there's another point to this view, and I have to comment, and I have to follow it up, and then there's an argument, and then there's a fight, there's a disagreement. SubhanAllah al-Azim. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "He'd halak." He said, the person is ruined. Why? They ruin all their social interactions because they can't hold their tongue from sharing an opinion which is meaningless. This is prophetic interaction, brothers and sisters. The Prophet ﷺ would teach his companions and his family these kind of prophetic interactions. One of the most beautiful stories and most beloved to me is that the Prophet ﷺ would not sit his family down and give them a lecture. He would use moments to teach them lessons. He would take advantage and opportunity when it arises to teach lessons to his kids and his family. Among them was when they were walking in the streets, and you might think that we're living in such difficult times, Islamophobia, people don't understand Islam, there's so much hate. They come out with, you know, even rioting or protesting our faith, and we're all equal citizens in this country. You might think it's a little bit bad. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ walking in the streets of Medina, and somebody literally yells at him, "Death be on you, O Muhammad." Like, this is the greatest Islamophobia possible. It hasn't happened to me yet. Some of you might say, "Go back home," and I say, "Where? Texas?" Right? I said that to somebody once, they just smiled and laughed. Right? The idea being is, the Prophet ﷺ had this said to him, and before he could respond in any response, his wife Aisha, she was fired, radiallahu anha. She had a personality.
Radiallahu ta'ala anha.
So she yelled out, "No, death be on you. You go back home. Go back to where you came from." And she yelled this and she said some other things as well. Interesting things, right? And the Prophet ﷺ, what did he do? He didn't say, "Astaghfirullah, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah," and gave her a lecture. No, of course not. This is not the way the Prophet ﷺ. He literally waited and then he took her to a side. And he said, "Ya Aisha, when gentleness is put in something, it beautifies it. When it's removed from something, it makes it ugly." It was simple enough for you to just say, and wait, yak, and you as well, and move on with your life. Don't let it eat yourself. He gave her a principle in prophetic interaction. We write books about the idea of gentleness with people, even those who may curse with you or disagree with you. Aisha radiallahu anhu was taught this. Her father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, was the same way. A lot of people don't know Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was also just like, Aisha was just like her father. He had a very short temper. But he was one of the people that he would overcome his short-temperedness, and over the course of being with Rasulullah ﷺ, he overcame this characteristic. So even the Sahaba, people we look up to, they had to work and understand and learn from prophetic interaction. One time Rasulullah ﷺ and Abu Bakr were sitting, and a man came and was cursing them, and they were just sitting. And Abu Bakr kept silent. And the Prophet ﷺ is looking at Abu Bakr, and the man is yelling at Abu Bakr. And the Prophet is smiling because Abu Bakr is not being, belligerent. And finally he couldn't take it anymore, so he snaps and he curses the man back. And the Prophet ﷺ gets up and walks away. Abu Bakr got startled, so he ran after Rasulullah ﷺ and says, "Ya Rasulullah, the man was cursing me, you were sitting and looking at me, smiling. And then when I said some things that he said to me, you walked away. Why is that? Why is that?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ya Abu Bakr, when the man was cursing you, you remained silent, angels were responding to him, and that's why I was smiling. And when you responded to him in the same belligerent manners that Islam does not teach us," the Prophet didn't say this, meaning these are manners that Islam does not teach us. These are normative things. Human beings interact normally. You would also respond to somebody cursing you in a very rude way. This is normal, but Islam teaches us to overcome our normality. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when you responded to him and the like, Shaytan comes in that gathering and I don't sit in the gathering in which Shaytan is in. Meaning what? It will just increase the fire. It will increase the fire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant this prophetic interaction. Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant this prophetic interaction. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam, wa rasulillah, wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. The Prophet ﷺ said something so beautiful as well when it comes to the art of prophetic interaction. He said, "Inna Allah yuhibbu al-'abda al-taqi al-ghani al-khafi." Allah loves a servant who is, first of all, taqi, conscious. Consciousness is a constant state. If you're conscious of Allah, taqwa is not just an act. You come into the masjid, and then when you come out of the masjid, it's a different person. Taqwa is a constant state of rectification. Why? Because Allah is always on the mind. In your business dealings, in your interactions with people. Then he said, Al-Ghani. Al-Ghani, a lot of people, you would think it means rich. This is not just richness of material gain, this is richness of the heart. The Prophet ﷺ has said, the one who is truly rich is the one that he feels content with what Allah gave them. And then he said something beautiful at the end of it. He said, Al-Khafi. Al-Khafi, the one that's hidden. So God conscious and enriched in their own being. And Khafi, which it means hidden literally in Arabic, but there's two levels of meanings. Hidden meaning what? They're not show-offs. They're not wearing their wealth on their body. That does not mean don't buy things. There's a difference between somebody having a Ferrari and somebody posting their Ferrari on every single social media page every day. Every single day, like, hey, check out the steering wheel, check out the car, check out the side, mirror. This is beyond approach, right? Having good things is part of our faith. The Prophet ﷺ was even told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And about the favors and blessings of Allah, speak about in general. What does khafi mean in here as well? The one that is khafi al-qalb. The one that is light-hearted, they don't hold grudges. The one that does not hold grudges. How many of us here, without Rob, don't raise your hands, please. One time I did this, I was like, me? I was like, no, brother, no. How many of us here have grudges with a family member for like almost 20, 25, 30 years, 5 years, even 1 year, even 6 months? And the Prophet said, and it says, Allah forgives every believer on earth every Monday and Thursday. Every Monday and Thursday, Allah forgives. He said, except two who have rancor amongst one another. Disagreement and hatred, where they don't speak. Allah says to the angels, دَعْهُمَا حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحَا. Leave them until they reconcile. Allah. How many of us are not خَفِي الْقَلْبِ? Everything that is said to us, I can't believe she said that. I can't believe how they treat me. I can't believe that they would speak to me in this way. That does not mean, by the way, that you take people's, you know, bad manners towards you, etc. But how you respond is what we're talking about. How you respond is what we say. And lastly, we'll end with this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which honestly is a very long hadith, but we will only cover one part of it. This is one of the most beautiful hadith in the entirety of Shama'il of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala, which talks about how to be. We talk about how not to be. How to be in our prophetic interaction. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was described by Al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from his father Ali. Hassan said, Hussein's brother, he said, I went to my brother Hussein, and I said, describe to me the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This teaches you something even greater. The family of the Prophet would even have sittings where we would discuss the life of the Prophet. And he said that my father Ali radiallahu anhu, meaning our father, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana bishr. He was always pleasant. Always pleasant. Bishr comes from also bishara, meaning smiling. He wasn't somebody that had a negative, toxic nature. You talk about toxic masculinity, where people literally, all they have to do is try to prove their masculinity, so they act in a horrible manner with others. He was damn ambitious. If that's in your characteristic, even women, try to overcome that by smiling a little more. Try to overcome that by understanding that Islam teaches us to treat people better. Then he said, سَهْلُ الْخُلُقْ, easy-going nature, easy manners. He was easy to deal with. لَيْنُ الْجَانِبْ, he was soft in his presence. Meaning when you stood with him, you felt like there was an empathetic, loving nature to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَيْسَ بِفَضْلٍ وَلَا غَلِيظٍ, he was not stern or hard-hearted. Some people, when they respond, they have like no care about the person's feelings or emotions or reactions. This is just how I am, they respond. This is not just how you are. You refuse to rectify yourself. Anyone that tells you this is my personality and this is what you have to deal with, what they're saying to you is I don't want to rectify myself. Umar was a drunk, stern, ghalib, harsh-hearted, and he changed himself when he rose on the member of the Prophet ﷺ. You know what dua he made? He said, oh Allah, I was hard-hearted, so make my heart soft. The entirety of the life of the Prophet ﷺ's interaction led to a man implementing Islam, and he would say on the first khutbah that he gave in Islam, those people who think that Umar will be hard with them, know that I will be hard against myself to give you your rights, and to give those who have been oppressed back what has been taken away from them, and to stand with those who have been downtrodden in the weak. Look at the entirety of what prophetic interaction did to one man. And the Prophet ﷺ was also described, وَلَا سَخَّان, he did not shout. And وَلَا فَحَاش, he was not obscene. One of the things for our young people, this is something very, very prevalent. Being obscene and cursing. AF this, LMAO this, these are all cursing. This is not permissible. These are all forms of cursing. Okay? These kind of things are so widespread in our culture that we think it's normal. So now cursing has been normalized, and the Prophet ﷺ says, the believer is not someone that curses. He tied belief and faith with having this characteristic of not cursing. And the Prophet ﷺ, وَلَا عَيَّاب, he was not one that went to try the faults of people. You know people who look for people's faults? Oh, what did they say? Like, subhanAllah, social media now has drama we didn't even know about.
And now the entire family is engrossed in the drama that we didn't know about in another country. And all we care about is, let's find the faults of people. Let's find what they did wrong. Right? This is not the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also, this does not mean that if somebody did something wrong, you stay quiet about it. Staying quiet of the oppression of the oppressed is oppression against the oppressor. Okay? Showing mercy to the oppressors is oppression against those who are oppressed. And lastly, وَلَا مَدَّاحٍ. He would not that excessively joke beyond normality. He would laugh, he said, when people laughed and shared their jokes, and the Prophet would be happy with them and join in that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this type of prophetic interaction. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us forgiveness and to guide us in the best of manners, to make us of those that implement Islam in the best of ways, to make us of those that implement our Islam with our families first and foremost, with then our friends and our communities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the best of character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that He is proud of and He raises our mention in the heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the companionship of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that the weightiest thing on the Day of Judgment is good character. Ya Rabbi Ameen. Allah make us of those that we are constantly turning to You and You forgive them. Allah, we ask that You guide us, guide us, Ya Rabbi Alameen. We ask that You grant us the best of living in health, and Ya Rabbi Alameen. Allah, cure those who are sick. Have mercy on those who have passed. Make us of those who have turned to You constantly. Make us of those who stand against injustice. Make us of those that turn to You in morning and in evening. Make us of those that love You with all of our heart. Allah, forgive all those who have passed and those who are sick in our community. Allah, make us of those that turn to You constantly. Thank you.